Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and in today's episode, we're bringing on one of our own therapists from the practice, The Marriage Place. We're bringing on Cindy Wright, and Cindy Wright, her work is anchored in her mission to help each of her clients enjoy life as the best version of themselves and to find fulfillment in their most precious relationships. She knows personally how past trauma and dysfunction can create self-defeating beliefs and behaviors that interfere with the couple's ability to navigate through life's toughest challenges. And that's why, guys, we're bringing her in as the EMDR expert coming up on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only. It should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and or mental illness. Kim, how's it going?
Hey, John. It's going great. I'm back in the RV. It's always good.
You're back in the RV? I just want to let you know Kim was dancing. She was shuffling. So, you know, she has this groove thing going on.
It's the white girl shuffle, though. So, you know.
That's fun. Well, guys, we got a special guest for you guys. On this episode, we got LPCA Cindy Wright. So, Cindy Wright, if you can just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and where you practice and what kind of are your specializations that you have right now?
I've been with The Marriage Place for a year and a half now. I used to be a CPA and decided to go back to school and was fortunate enough to get to be recruited in and work with The Marriage Place, work with couples. This has been a blast. It's also
Cindy's
quite challenging.
Cindy's one of ours.
Say what?
I said, Cindy's one of ours.
That's right.
Yeah, I started as a student, and now I'm getting to work as one of the therapists. And I've started doing this technique with using EMDR with couples. And so here I am.
That's awesome. Well, just to kind of frame our conversation today, I do want to have a chance for you guys just to kind of talk about what EMDR is, because I know a lot of our listeners are not necessarily into the therapeutic world. And so just to kind of give a framework, what is EMDR, Cindy and Kim?
Well, EMDR is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. Several of our therapists are trained in it. It is a modality used to treat trauma with eye movement and the way that the brain wires memory and feelings that come up in the body, reactions that the body has to certain memories. ART is another one. We talk a lot about that. Accelerated resolution therapy. They're both great. But what I'm really excited about is Cindy took her EMDR training and saw a need for using it to facilitate couples work. And so that's why I wanted her on the show today. I wanted to hear more about how you're doing that, Cindy. Like, I'm hearing great things about it. So talk to us a little bit about that.
What I started noticing is that a lot of times I would have a couple come in and they would start learning the tools and they would start trying to apply this at home, but they would keep getting stuck. They would keep having the same challenge over and over again. So what I noticed is that typically one of the partners had some kind of significant trauma from the past, either a childhood trauma, they'd had some kind of military trauma, they'd had some trauma that had occurred between maybe the partners or something like that. And so what I did was have them come into session together and have the person with the trauma work through the anxiety and the trauma using these little buzzers, little theratappers. And I would have their other partners sit in and silently observe. And what we would do is start to get to the, that it would create some understanding for them. of why they were reacting so severely.
What I hear you saying is that couples come in and they're having a problem emotionally regulating with each other.
Yes. Yes.
And that might be because of past trauma. It might be because of an experience they had in the military or something they had in their childhood, right? And so what's happening, Cindy, if I hear you correctly, what's happening is the body thinks it's under threat, or the brain thinks it's under threat, and they're responding to that. And that's getting in the way of the couples actually coming into therapy, being able to talk and listen and be present for each other. Is that right?
Right. What I will see is they either continue to stay very stuck. I hear the same thing when they come into session, that you'll have, there's like one partner that continues to really overreact. They might be really yelling or losing it. Or I'll see in session, I'll see couples that can't, that one partner may cry all the time, cry so much that we can't really do the work. Or I'll,
oh, wow.
I've had some sessions where a partner literally freezes up. They can't, they freeze up, they can't talk, they shut down, they cry so much that we're really not able to do the work. So what I've learned is that is always related to something that has occurred in their past. It's either some kind of something that is traumatic as a child, something that is traumatic that maybe I've had several guys that have come out of the military that they're struggling to get past. And what I've noticed is they don't realize that that's why they're reacting the way they are. They don't know why.
I have a question for you. Okay. Did you go into therapy knowing that you wanted to be EMDR trained, or was this something that you saw there was a need of as you were trying to work with couples and they became, what you said, stuck, like they weren't able to regulate or co-regulate? I mean, like you just saw like this giant wall of progress. So what was that for you?
Well, I was very interested in EMDR because in my own journey to heal up myself from my own childhood difficulties, I had had a therapist use it with me. And it had been life-changing. They actually also use they call them TheraTappers, the things that buzz in your hands. So they had actually used that with me, and it had been life-changing. And that's what I've loved about EMDR, is how it's almost like magic. It's like some things people have struggled with, that in a session, I will see such a change in the way they, the insight they have for themselves. That's what I like the most about it. I think that trauma causes your brain to be so locked up and anxious that it's like you don't really understand what's going on. And so what I like about EMDR is it helps relax that and calm it down. And then when you do, now you've got some insight and it's easier to start to explore, oh, wow, this is what's going on. So that was what it was for me, is I had had this belief that I had had most of my life, and this therapist that used EMDR with me helped me realize. I suddenly went, I had this aha moment. So when I started with the marriage place, I wanted to be able to do that for others. And it occurred to me to use it with couples because I kept seeing the same pattern. And so because folks would not understand why they're overreacting or reacting big with yelling or whatever, it had created a lot of very negative resentment and hurt from with their partners in the relationship. And so
when your partner is reactive that way, right? And you, especially if you don't understand the context of what's going on, it just feels very unsafe. And so people, it shuts down intimacy and connection. Yeah. And intimacy being intimacy, you see, it shuts down your willingness to be known and to know your partner. And yeah. So that's what I love about this. And I think, Cindy, you've said you want to make it very clear that this isn't, you're not trying to do individual trauma work with somebody in a couple setting necessarily, but you're just using it to help the body. You're just helping them learn how to regulate and be a safe space for each other.
Yes, right? Exactly. A lot of times with a couple, you know, the other partner will think that these big reactions, they'll take it personally. They think it's all about them. So this huge negative pattern gets started where they just keep missing each other. They don't understand. Mm-hmm. So that's what I like about having the partner in session is not only does the one that we're working with for the trauma start to get it and have that aha moment of how this has impacted the way they go through life, but how it's impacted the way they react to their partner, it helps their partner also have an aha moment and go, oh. And what I've noticed is after every EMDR session, I always try to have them both then have a conversation. And what I mm-hmm. always hear every time is, I had no idea it was that hard for them. It makes it easier for them to start being a team. It makes them easier, makes it easier to stop taking it so personally. They can start to get unstuck.
Well, and they co-regulate. See, that's, you know, we've talked, John, about that many times on this show about how important it is as a couple to learn how to co-regulate, which is calm each other down, how to know when you or your partner is getting activated and what's the best way to soothe and comfort each other in that. And Cindy, I imagine it also increases empathy, which is a great bonding agent for couples, right?
Yeah. That's been my experience is that it's, especially if a pattern's been going on quite a while, that's been very negative, that there's so much resentment and anger that it takes a lot of sessions to get them to start to empathize with one another. So that's one thing I really like about having both partners in an EMDR session is I notice the empathy is almost instantaneous. And I think that's because of understanding. It's like, finally the aha moment for the other person.
Wow. I do have a question for you ladies. It kind of sounds like this tapper or like one of the methods, you know, being these tappers is that you're kind of slowing down the brain or making the brain feel comfortable and enough to have the body and the brain work together to process some of these traumatic events. Is that right?
I've seen people that are so dysregulated that I've actually handed these tappers to them, even when we're not trying to do EMDR, just hand it to them so they can talk while these things are buzzing. And I've noticed that they will start to calm. And
really?
And then what I've noticed is then we don't seem to have to do it. They start to learn, oh, this is what it feels like to be regulated. So then you can give them the tools to start to do that between sessions. And so
we may need to talk a little bit about because there's so much out there about EMDR, and I don't know if I want to get that detailed into the actual therapeutic modality, but we called it eye movement, desensitization and reprocessing. Now we're talking about tappers. And so let's kind of tell everybody. So eye movement, when the eyes move back and forth, Cindy, as you were trained more recently than I was, and you understand this, right? What you're doing is you're activating both sides of the brain, the right and the left, the logic center of the brain with the creative or imaginary, the part that creates the pictures of the memories.
Right.
Correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you're getting both sides of the brain activated. And so what happens with the tappers is it's just this, it's like holding these sticks and they pulse, like they just literally tap. So you just feel movement on both sides of your body, if you're holding one in each hand, that does the same thing as the eye movements. Just having a tapping motion on both sides of your, you know, on both sides of your body as you're holding, I'm saying this so badly, but you're holding them in both sides, right? And so just having the movement is also lighting up both sides of the brain.
Yeah, it's that bilateral movement. And you can also do it with headphones. You can have noises go back and forth. And it's so you what you do is you get them to hold the traumatizing image in their brain and whatever is going through there. I always try to get to what are they really thinking? They're thinking it's always something like, I am not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not lovable. It's always something. So you have them hold it there while they experience this fast bilateral movement, and it helps desensitize it. It's almost like it unlocks it. It's like it gets that pressure cooker anxiety that's just shaking around in their brain that's so easily activated where they go to protecting themselves. So when you can get it to start to relax and release, then I'll ask them to let their mind wander and see where it goes. And that's when they get the insight, and you can get, you know, when you can get them to relax and get the insight about what's really going on, they just have a better understanding of why this has been impacting their life. And then why is it in our relationship? Why is it impacting us? And so then they can see that, you know, for example, like someone that's been raised in an environment where is super critical and super high expectations. Well, they'll go into life maybe being perfectionist or thinking they have to do everything perfectly. And so when they get into a relationship, they're very easily triggered by their partner questioning anything or asking anything. So they'll way overreact. So I've noticed once we can help them identify that this is where this need to be so perfect and I don't do it good enough comes from, then they see that, oh, this is why I react this way to my partner. And they can, you know, it's like once you understand it, then it's easier to change it.
And so, Cindy, if you have a client, if you get a couple in there and you do this with them and they're able to calm themselves down, be present, be there together more, do you then recommend that they go do their individual trauma work? Because obviously it's popping up, right? So what do you do with that?
Well, yes. I mean, ideally, if you've had something that's a really severe trauma, like a military trauma, ideally that's so, there's so much there that for them to be better in their own life and be happier in their own life, they really need to spend some time working individually. There's not enough time for me to unpack that for them and help the couple move forward. So yes, ideally, if I can get them to go work that out themselves, I do.
I'm a big skeptic, John. I don't know if you know that about me. I'm a big skeptic. I'm not one of those woo-woo therapists that, like, I want to see the science behind it. Like, so when I first became a therapist and this EMDR stuff was out there and it sounded pretty woo-woo to me, so I was like, you know, I just don't know about this. But
what's woo-woo?
Yeah, you know, like therapists and, you know, crystals and auras and,
oh, I gotcha. Okay.
You know, like, no, no, just a very show me the facts. But anyway, so I did this EMDR training and they asked us as part of the training, they said, if anybody has anything that they want to kind of do of your own personal to kind of practice and learn it, for instance. And so I was getting ready to go on this trip where we were hiking part of the Appalachian Trail. I was starting to have anxiety about finding, seeing a bear. kind of for real, like seeing a bear. And so it, you know, started out with just this, what do you do if you see a bear, you know? And then I started reading and hearing about all these bear attacks, which that was smart, right? Just look up all the awful ways you could die on a trail. And then I saw this movie, and the movie was this killer bear that was attacking people. But there was a scene in it that was so graphic where the bear pulled the guy out and just like left his rib cage. Like that was all that was left. And it was so horrifying. I could not get that image out of my head. And I was getting like OCD about this. Like I was like, I don't think I can do this. I don't, this, like I traumatized myself basically. And so she's like, anybody got anything they want to, an image or a disturbing thought that they want to get rid of? And I thought, well, yeah, I do, because I'm about to cancel the trip of a lifetime to hike. It's always been a bucket list item, and I'm about to cancel it because I was getting so wigged out about it. One EMDR session on that bear, one, and it was gone. The image was gone. The panic was gone. The fear of it was gone. And in fact, and I swear, as God is my witness, this is true. We got on that trail. Most of the time you don't see a bear. I'll be just be honest. You just don't. There was a bear. And people were freaking out. And I was like,
I got it, pal.
I got y'all. Like, I had the bear spray if I needed it. I wasn't panicking. I wasn't trying to climb a tree. I wasn't trying to outrun everybody else so that they would get eaten and I could get away. Like, I just was standing there watching the bear, being very mindful, very demure. So I was able to get on that trip and have a great time. And even when we saw a bear, I was okay. If I had not done that EMDR training, one, I don't know that I would have gone. I probably would have canceled. And two, if that bear had shown up then, I would have had a heart attack and died right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this stuff works. Like, it really does work. That's just my story.
I think it's important to understand that when you have a fear like that, it's rocking around in that part of your brain that keeps you that heightened, ready to protect yourself. And you don't realize that. So your brain, it's like a pressure cooker. It's like this anxious, constant state of fight or flight. And mm-hmm. So the least little trigger causes you to just react to protect yourself. And so I think it's important when you can see, when you calm that down, like you were talking about with the bear, when you calm that fear down, then you can have a more rational way of approaching it. And that doesn't mean you still like it, but you...
Well, no, that doesn't mean I wanted to go pet the bear either, yeah. Right? But people, I think people get it. Like, there was a snake in the office. In one of our therapist offices a few weeks ago, people were wigging out. I'm like, okay, I don't like snakes, but come on, you know. And those that know are like, really? The bear? Come on, you know, you're going to laugh at us about snakes. But anyway, I think people get the phobia fear. Like, some people, it's elevators or it's planes or it's tight spaces or it's EMDRs can be really great for that stuff. But I think where sometimes we don't understand is when our partner gets upset and they're extremely reactive and volatile, understanding that that's also a connection to a stress point that has nothing to do with what's going on in the situation. Yeah. John, one of the things that you and I have talked about before, when it's hysterical, it's historical. Remember that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So when our reaction is over the top mm-hmm. for what's going on, right? Yeah. Then this is about something that's from the past.
Yeah.
And so that's where EMDR can get really helpful for these couples, because you come in and you're not dealing with just what happened between the couple. You're also dealing with what's going on back here that you may not even recognize as part of the equation.
Yeah. Well, most folks are, if it is traumatizing from the past, they want to say, yeah, I don't need to deal with that. I don't need to deal with that anymore. Yeah. I don't need to deal with that. Yeah, I'm done. And
I hear that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And anytime I hear that, you know, well, yeah, that was from but you know, it doesn't matter. I'm like, yeah, that'd be why you're screaming. That's what's going on. 90% of that.
So, wow. I mean, that's super insightful. I do want to hear from both of you guys, like, which kind of couples would benefit from, or what types of individuals would benefit from EMDR therapy?
What types of individuals? Okay, so if there was a sexual assault or abuse, and it makes somebody extremely nervous about having sex with their partner, that would be a great EMDR target.
Yeah, I have seen clients that were raised in an environment where it was extreme parenting, and they had incidents where as a child, they did something where they didn't intend to do something wrong, but they did. And then they're really extremely punished. I have seen several of those where they go into their marriage where anytime anyone questions anything they do, they way overreact because they're so protective of, I didn't do anything wrong, or so terrified of making a mistake. So they way overreact. So that's one that I see, extreme parenting.
Yeah. What other couples would benefit from EMDR therapy?
Anywhere trauma has occurred between them, where something's happened very extreme between them.
Even betrayal trauma. So yeah. I've used it with couples when somebody had an affair, mm-hmm. and their partner's having a lot of flashbacks because they had too many details, or they saw pictures that were sent between them, or texts or something like that, and they can't get the same thoughts out of their head, mm-hmm. right? Or every time, this one lady that I worked with, every time she passed by the hotel where her husband would meet with his affair partner, mm-hmm. she would have this really strong physical reaction and get really depressed for days. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so we do EMDR around that. Mm-hmm. And it helps to release some of that. So.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, ladies. Is there something, Cindy, that you would leave with the audience to maybe help them be observant or look out for, maybe some signs or symptoms that they could watch out for and maybe even consider EMDR in the future?
I would say if you find yourself going round and round in the same stuck circle where you seem to keep having the same struggle, it seems to sound like the same fight over and over again, or the same argument over and over again, or even personally, if you keep finding yourself in the same situation over and over again, where it's just a different person, it would probably... there's probably something underneath that is keeping you stuck there. And so it'd be, it's, you know, I always tell people that your work worth doing, you can swirl around in the muck and stay where you are, or you can put in a little hard work and move into something that feels a lot better. And for a couple, you know, you really, if you can move into feeling very safe together, that work is really worth doing instead of swirling around the muck.
That's good. Kim, any final thoughts?
Just thank you, Cindy, for coming and being willing to share all this with us. I love what you're doing with it. I love that you were innovative and thought, I want to find a way to use this modality to help couples together, because I don't know if a lot of people are doing it that way. So... it's exciting.
Yeah, thank you, Cindy.
Sure.
We appreciate your time.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Well, that wraps up today's show. We hope that you enjoyed that. Man, something that I really took into thought was, man, my brain and my body really work together. And if my thoughts are not okay, then it's possibly impacting my body. And if my body's not okay, it's probably impacting my mind. So anyways, that's our show for today, guys. You have been listening to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Stay savvy. Peace.